Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Tonight, our 40-minute speaker is Giuseppe from Montebello.
Yeah.
Dear Heavenly Father, I invite you into my heart, my soul, my mind. I invite you into this meeting. I ask you to let me help at least one person. Please take away my looking good racket. In Jesus' name, amen. My name is Giuseppe, and I'm an alcoholic. And I'd like to thank you for inviting me to come down and share with you tonight. I'm not an authority on Alcoholics Anonymous, alcoholism. All I know is that I stopped in a meeting on the way to the graveyard, and I've been here ever since. To be honest with you, it's really a miracle that I'm even here tonight, because when I first got here, I wasn't even an alcoholic. You know, I might have done some recreational drug abuse, but alcoholic, no way. And then after like about 2 weeks, the fog started to lift, and you know, I started thinking about it. I did have a 3012. Well, that's 6502s, but that was just bad luck. And my last drunk driving was on Halloween night, 1985. I have three friends in the car, and I'm supposed to be the tough guy. I know I'm going to jail, so I'm just going to have some fun. So the cop walks up to the car. He knocks on the window. He takes one look at me. He goes, "Where do you think you're going?" I said, "Halloween party." He goes, "What are you supposed to be?" I said, "A drunk driver." He says, "You're doing great. Matter of fact, I'm not even really a cop. I'm going to the same party. Why don't you ride with me?" I don't think that's funny. The things we do to get to Alcoholics Anonymous. Came into Alcoholics Anonymous July 21st, 1987. Came into Alcoholics Anonymous not wanting what you had. I was wearing a gangster hat and a trench coat. I was driving a Cadillac that was dying of alcoholism. And the only reason I came is, okay, look, this is an AA meeting. I'm not going to talk about using drugs, but I'm going to talk about selling them for a minute. Because it's kind of interesting how I got here. I got here through my drug connection. And his name was Mark, and he was going to this thing called Alcoholics Anonymous, and he'd get 30 days and go out, and he'd get 8 days and go out. And he did this back and forth for about 15 months. The reason he couldn't get sober is he never changed his rotten, dirty thinking, so he couldn't change his rotten, dirty living. And somewhere as he was trudging the road of happy destiny, he turned Al-Anon on me and told me that I had become my best customer and I needed to do 60 meetings in 60 days or he wasn't going to front me my drugs no more. What are you laughing at? God knows how to get me to a meeting. So he picks me up and he takes me to this meeting. The room was like about 4x8. Everybody was smoking. Some girl got up and spoke for 4.5 hours. You know? And then after the meeting, it exploded and everybody's hugging and kissing and having sex in the closet. And I just didn't get it. And I wasn't impressed with you or Alcoholics Anonymous that night. But I was impressed was he introduced me to a judge. And see, everything, my whole life before I got to Alcoholics Anonymous was illegal. You give a kid a name like Giuseppe, I've seen The Godfather 218 times. I had a higher power. That was Don Corleone. And, you know, I rode that all the way into Alcoholics Anonymous. And I wasn't impressed, but knowing a judge for what I did, because I didn't work legally my whole life, you know, everything was, you know, criminal and... Anyway, long story short, so knowing a judge would be somebody I'd really like to be my sponsor or something, you know? And so then he called me the next night, says, "We're going to go to another meeting." I says, "We just went to one last night." You know, same room, same people, same nonsense. And I wasn't impressed again, but then he introduces me to a lawyer. I says, "Wow, this AA is the place." You know? And then, of course, he went out one more time, and he was gone for... I didn't hear from him for about a month and a half, and I didn't want to hear from him because I owed him a lot of money. And then all of a sudden, I get that call. "Giuseppe, it's Mark." And I go, "Oh no, he sounds sober." You know, and I says, "What's up, Mark? How you doing? Where you been?" And he says, "Well," he goes, "listen, I can't do this anymore. And then I knew he was sober. I says, you can't do what? He says, I can't sell guns, drugs, and women and act like an idiot and go to AA and ask God to bless me with one day at a time of sobriety. He goes, listen, I want you to think about something. I'm going to call you back in 20 minutes, and this is what I want you to think about. If you decide you want to get sober with me, we've grown up together, you know, we hung out in the streets, we made our way up there, you know, whatever that means. I'll wipe out your whole debt, and me and you will get sober. If you decide you do not want to get sober, I understand, but you need to come down and pay me half of what you owe me, because I know you don't have it, and you get in the wind, and I'm going to stay in AA. And he hung up. I mean, he could have called me back in 20 seconds, because I had, what'd you do, bump your head? Alcoholics Anonymous, are you crazy? So our last official transaction was at the Orange County Convention. And I walked in there, and we had a long talk, and he says, listen, if he goes, if you want to get sober, call me. Otherwise, I'm dead to you. And he goes, don't call me for nothing unless you want to get sober. And he gave me the number to his people, and I didn't need him no more anyway. So, you know, I walked out of that convention. Oh, and he wasn't working too good of a program, because he says, listen, tonight's Friday night, and they're going to have a great big dance. There's going to be a lot of pretty girls here. If you come, I'll let you in for free. I'm working the door. Keep coming back. So, I walked out of that convention free of Mark. And so, you know what, with his business and my business, you know, I got to get real sick real quick, one day at a time. You know, my whole life, I watched these gangster movies where you start off on the streets, you know, and you work your way up, you make your bones, and you know what, the higher you get, you know, the more crazier things you do. And I thought I was there. You know what, I'm driving a brand new Cadillac, got a nice apartment, have a bunch of friends who just love me for who I am. You know, and we're having those wonderful AA parties. You know, they start on Friday night and then about Tuesday. And we're having these really deep, deep, important conversations. And they went something like this. Shh, did you hear that? He's in the tree. I mean, people, planes, and helicopters are following me. I'm crawling around on my hands and knees looking out the window because I know that they know. You know what? You know, I knew they were there, I just couldn't catch them. You know what? Finally, I thought I caught somebody in the closet, and I kicked it open and almost shot my three-piece suit. Yeah. I'm just having the time of my life, you know? You know, just to wrap this up so I can get sober, at the end of my professional gangsterism, whatever you want to call it, I'm taking this cowboy to his grandma's house so he could borrow some money so he could pay me. And we get pulled over for absolutely no reason at all. You know, he's wearing a cowboy hat. I'm wearing a gangster hat. My car's dying of alcoholism. You know, I'm drunk and I haven't slept for a couple of days. You know, he tells him where it's at. And now I'm on my way to jail. So I'm in jail where I do my best thinking. I'm thinking about Mark. Mark's in that AAA and he knows a judge and a lawyer. So I figure, here's my best thinking at the time. Okay, look, with my record, you know, I'm going to go to jail for 7 to 10. There's no doubt about it. So I figured I'd come to Alcoholics Anonymous, trick you guys into writing me a letter for the judge, because I knew I could postpone it for about 3 months, saying something like, I'm hoping, please don't put Giuseppe in jail. He was alcoholic and newcomer of the month. You know? It's the only reason I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. But if you think about it, you know what, I did need AA and probably NA and CA so I could stay in LA and not have to worry about the DA. So I didn't tell you this, but Mark got my best friend sober and my best customer. So these two, I walk into the meeting and you know what, I'm going to tell you, you know what, I'm going to feel at home here. I'm going to tell you what they told me. They bought me a big book and a 12 and 12 and they says, here, it's a $1 million program. You shove it up your butt a nickel at a time. You know, and they says, you got to get a sponsor. You got to get a sponsor. I says, what's a sponsor? A sponsor is like a mentor, somebody who's going to guide you through your destiny. And I says, okay, where do I find a sponsor? You don't have to worry about it. We already got one for you. It's our sponsor. We already told him everything about you. And I'm saying like, oh, great. You know, so I says, who is he? And they pointed to this gentleman that was, you know, sitting at the table. And I sized him up and said, looks like he could spell. Okay, it's on. So after the meeting, I went up to him real official-like. You know, like, excuse me, sir, would you please consider being my Alcoholics Anonymous sponsor? And he goes,
are you willing to go to any length?
I says, oh, yes, sir.
He goes, what do you do for a living?
He knew what I did. You know, and look, so I know what I told him. I said, I sell drugs. What do you do? You know? Now, look, that's just a tough guy response because, you know, tough guys have to act like that when they're really scared. So let me pull my covers. And so I said, I sell drugs. What do you do? And he goes, he got really pissed off. He says, wait a minute. He goes, are you going to continue to sell drugs and try to get sober? Well, it's the only job I have right now, sir. And he really got pissed off. You ever pissed off an old-timer? His eyes got real spiritual and beady. And he looked at me and he says, listen. He goes, didn't you learn anything from Mark? I go, I'm not Mark. You know, he goes, listen, you son of a bitch. He says, why don't you go back out there and do it your way? And if you live, we'll have a chair right here waiting for you. And I wanted to say, look it, dude, just write this letter. I'll never bother you again. You know, and talk about a kind of a minute of clarity. You know what? I'm driving home. You know, I don't know what to do. So I figured, look, I'm going to go down and talk to the last spiritual advisor on the face of the earth that I know. And it was this cocktail waitress at Sugar's I was going out with. And she made some sense. She says, dude, you're going to go to jail for a long time. Why don't you give it a chance? See if it works. See if you can get out of this deal. So, you know, I made a deal with God. See, I'm born Catholic, you know, full-blooded Italian, full-blown Catholic. You know, and I've been dipped, smacked, slapped. Nothing's worked but Alcoholics Anonymous. So I started making that deal with God like Monty Hall. Let's make a deal, you know. Okay, God, look, get me out of this thing. I promise you from the bottom of my honest heart that I'll stay sober for at least a year. And after that, I'm going to go out and do things my way. And, you know, when I start making money again, you know what? I'll paint and put new windows in this ratty old clubhouse we're having meetings in. You know, and that was a deal. And then so Mark picks me up. He takes me to a meeting. Picks me up the next night. Takes me to a meeting. But let me just tell you something before I forget. Mark, my best friend and best customer, he got sober, and myself, all celebrated 26 years this year. We're all three still sober, believe it or not. So he picks me up, takes me to another meeting. Now I have 4 days. I have 4 days. Wow. I'll be speaking pretty soon. I'm sensitive. Be easy on me, right? I'll be speaking and sponsoring people and stuff. And then that same night, I'm thinking all this wonderful stuff because I'm a fast learner. It's birthday night. Birthday night? What the hell is birthday night? Well, if you get 365 days, we celebrate your birthday and give you a cake. I go, really? You know what? So I'm sitting there with my 4 days, kind of in a hurry. And this guy gets up and takes the one-year cake. I says, okay, maybe. 2, 4, 5, 7. This guy got up and took a 20-year cake, and I was pissed. You know? And I went up to this guy after the meeting and got right into his face like I was going to kiss him. I says, excuse me, sir. You mean to tell me and the group that you've been sober for 20 years? He goes, that's right. I said, 20 New Year's Eves. He goes, that's right. I go, you know what? I don't bleep and believe you, you liar. And you know what he said? Isn't that great? Keep coming back, it works. And he walked away. And he left me with me. You know, and my mind back then was like a bad neighborhood. You never want to go there alone, and I was alone. You know, and he played me just right because I'm thinking, I can't stay sober 20 years. Forget it. You know, I'll just go to jail. Been there, done that. Bought the T-shirt. I don't care. You know, these guys are a bunch of liars and crooked people. You know what? I'm going to officially resign. But the big tough gangster that I am, I didn't tell anybody. You know, so then Mark calls me the next day. Hey, Giuseppe, guess what? We're going to a special meeting. I go, oh, a special meeting? Oh, what kind of special meeting? You know, didn't you get the memo? You know, and he goes, we're going to go up to Covina to the 502 Club for the Thursday night men's stag. And before we go, there's about 75 of us guys that go out to this restaurant for dinner. You know, and I'm saying, you know, Mark, I would love to go. You know, I'm so looking forward to it. I was reading my book earlier. But, you know, I just don't feel good. I'll go tomorrow. He goes, okay, I got it. And he hung up. I go, wow, that was easy. You know, they're liars and they're stupid. You know? So then about 45 minutes later, open the door, it's Mark. Get in the car. Read the book. Heal. Teach like a dog where I got. So heal. Work the steps. Stay still. I got my gangster hat on because I'm scared. You know what? You know, my gangster hat was kind of like the Frosty the Snowman thing, you know, put it on solid, take it off water, you know. So you know, my sponsor at the time had this great big van, you know, with probably like about 15 guys in it, you know. So here we go, the Wet Brain Express going from Orange County over to Covina, you know, to the sobriety capital of the world. And I'm stuck. I'm stuck, and I'm saying to myself, you know what? I won't be there tomorrow. I won't be in the county tomorrow. They can call. They could try to come kidnap me. It ain't happening. You know. So now we're sitting in this restaurant with literally over 75 guys, and my sponsor at the time was one of the mucky mucks. You know. So we're sitting at the spiritual table. You know what? You know, 30 years, 25 years, 27 years. You know. And I'm sitting there with my 4.5 days pissed off. You know, and this guy reaches for the bread and he knocks a glass of water in my lap. He goes, "Oh, that's a spiritual awakening, newcomer." You know? And I almost picked up the coffee cup and showed him what, you know, if you want to start praying, bud. You know, and I'm sitting there melting and I don't know how to get out of it. And I can't talk to these guys because I can't BS them. You know, and there was this one older gentleman sitting next to me. He's like a kind of like a human quaalude, right? I figure I could probably start a conversation with him and get by this dinner. So I turned to him. I said, "Excuse me, sir, how long have you been sober?" 34 years. I didn't say it. And I just looked at him. I go, "Will you be my higher power?" And the reason I tell this story is because here's one of the most important things I could tell you tonight is God's never late. I'm just never on time. You know, they're supposed to come kidnap me and take me to this restaurant so I could be sitting next to this gentleman that has 34 years. And he looks at me and he says, "How long you been sober, kid?" I says, 4.5 days. And he goes, "Fantastic." You know, and he goes, "Let me ask you a question. You know, if you got," he goes, "What time did you get up this morning?" I says, "I got up at 8 o'clock. He goes, "I got up at 10 o'clock. And I go, "Yeah," I wanted to say, "Yeah, I'm glad you made it." You know, I go, "Why are you asking me that?" He goes, "Well, if you got up at 8 o'clock and I got up at 10 o'clock, that means you have more sobriety than me today." I says, "What are you talking about?" He says, "Well, the 2 hours that I was still sleeping and you were already awake, if you decided to, you could have had a fix, a drink, or a pill. But you decided not to." And I, so he goes, "You have more sobriety than me today, 2 more hours, because I got up at 10 o'clock. And I went, "You know what?" I said, "Well, pick up my check, newcomer." No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. You know what? And he goes, "I have 34 years of recovery, one day at a time, back to back. I have the disease of alcoholism, not alcoholism. Doesn't make a difference how long I have been recovering. I got to get through today just like you." And I, you know what? And I says, "That kind of makes sense." And then he says, "Can you stay sober for 24 hours? I says, he goes, "What do you mean, He goes, "You got 4.5 days, kid. Can you stay sober for 24 hours? I go, "Yeah, I could, just 24 hours. Not 24 days, 24 months, 24 years. And I says, "Just 24 hours. He goes, I go, "Yeah, I could do that." He goes, "That's all you got to do." He says, "It doesn't make a difference how much time we have in Alcoholics Anonymous. What makes a difference is the time that you're keeping." He said, "I know people that have 30 years and I'd rather drink than have what they have." You know what? And, you know, I've shared this before and I had an old timer come up to me with a major amount of sobriety yelling at me, "Why do you share that crap in the podium?" You know what I told him, right? I said, "Why don't you call your sponsor if you have one? You know, keep coming back at work." Because the highest we get around here is sober. You know what? And I almost died trying to be somebody. Now I'm happy just to be someone. I don't want to be too big. I don't want to be too small. I just want to stay in the middle. You know what? And then the last thing he said two more things. He says, "If you see all the gentlemen in this room right here, the one that has the most sobriety today is the one that got up first." And he goes, "And by the way," he says, "I have 34 years of recovery, but my arm's 34 inches long." And he goes, "That's how far away my next drink is if I decide to pick it up." He said, "Sobriety is like riding a bike, kid. If you stop pedaling your bike, you're going to lose your balance. And if you stop pedaling it, you know it, permanently, you're going to fall on your ass. And for us, that's getting drunk." Wow. Wow, I could do this. I could do this. And anyway, long story short, you know, because I don't want to get into all that stuff. I had possession of sales. I had 3 fake licenses, forgery, making false birth certificates. All of it got thrown out because I made a deal with God. You know what? And I was going to stay for a year. You know what? But then the magic started happening. You know what? So I'm going to meetings, going to meetings, going to meetings. Then, you know what? The next week, the gentleman with the 20-year cape, right? He comes up to me after the meeting. He goes, "Hey, sport. You know, I said, "What do you want, old man?" He says, "Look, I kind of like you. I don't know why." He goes, "People like you don't make it. So I'm going to make you a deal." He says, "If you could name me one problem that you could solve that will go away, that you'll never have to deal with again by drinking or using drugs, I'll go out and drink with you." And I went home and I thought and I thought and I thought because I wanted to drink with that bastard so bad. And 26 years later, I haven't found one problem that I could solve that will go away, that I'll never have to deal with again by taking a drink or doing drugs. Now, you know, that was in 1987. Here we are in 2013, almost 14. If there's anybody in this room that can name me one problem that you could solve by drinking or using drugs, my number is 323-216-1616. I will pick you up in a limousine on a Friday night. We'll drive by this meeting and flip everybody off and go to Vegas. Call me. You know how many phone calls I've gotten from people in Oklahoma? And "I found a problem. Let's go get the limo." So anyway, so now, you know, now I'm going to meetings, going to meetings, going to meetings, you know, and all of a sudden, oh my God, 30 days. Anybody got 30? I have 30 days. You know, look it. My 30-day chip is the best chip I've ever gotten because I haven't been more than 2 days sober since I was 12 years old. 30 days. You know, so I go up and the lady hands me this chip and it's gold and it's got a couple of rubies and diamonds in it and stuff. You guys didn't get one? Okay, not really, but that's what it felt like. That's what it felt like. You know, and then this idiot gets up in the middle of the meeting, stands up, takes $50 out of his wallet and gives it to the guy sitting next to him. And I says, "Double or nothing for 60 days. You know what? And I'm driving home wearing my gangster hat, you know, because I'm still scared. You know, I'm looking at this chip and I'm looking at this idiot hanging, you know, underneath the hat. And I got it and I threw it out the window. You know, it's like God said, maybe we can get started, right? So now I'm going to meetings, going to big meetings. You know, meetings they tape. You know, buying the tape. Go home, listen to the tape. Take the tape, turn it around a little bit, and go on the other side of town and share that stuff. "Oh, I'd love to hear you share. Yeah, here's my card." You know, I know you guys can do it out here, but, you know, in L.A. County, we're still a little crooked, you know. Behind the orange curtain. You know, I'm sponsoring a bunch of guys, and I'm doing all this stuff that I'm not working the steps. I'm not reading the book. Who wants to read the book? Doesn't even have any pictures. Come on, it's boring, you know. And then all of a sudden, I get that 1 year. Anybody got 1 year? Yeah, I got 1 year. And then guess what happened? Like about a week later, I met her. No, her. You know, the most prettiest girl in my home group. You know, and She was beautiful. She was friendly. She was cuddly. There was only one problem. She was married to my friend. And I didn't bite the apple for about 2 months. I was so good. You know what? And he's beating on me and stuff, and I can't divorce him because he has all the money, and so I bit into the apple. So we started a little AA relationship. And we got caught. And the thing about getting caught is going to your home group and not knowing you've been caught. Yeah. You know what? And thank God my sponsor wasn't there that night. You know, and thank God it was before cell phones. Because it took him like about four days to find me. And when he finally, he goes, "Is it true?" I go, "Yes, sir." He goes, "Bring your book and get down here right now." You know, and I knocked on the door and he threw me in the fifth step room and almost beat me to death with the big book. And I told him, I said, "Arnie," I go, "look it, we're saving money, you know, we're going to get a divorce, we're going to get a place, we're in love. And he says, I don't care. He says, she needs to get a divorce, wait at least a year, and then if everything's okay, then you guys can date. And I didn't like that. So you know what I did? I fired him. I went up to Covina, got a brand new unused sponsor. I waited about 2 weeks to tell him, and when I told him, he wouldn't co-sign it either. So you know what I did? I fired him too. So now I'm sponsoring myself and her. And we're having this beautiful, loving, caring, deep, Alcoholics Anonymous relationship. You know what I'm talking about. We got in a fight on the freeway. I pulled over and dropped her off. Went about 100 yards up the freeway to put it in reverse to drive all the way back. And your stuff will be on the porch when you get home. Just the way it's supposed to be. You know, I got a broken picker. I always pick the sick ones. You know, I heard a speaker say that if you line up the 10 most beautiful women in Alcoholics Anonymous, I would pick the sick one every time. Me too. You know? So I'd like to tell you that this relationship didn't last that long. 3.5 years. And, you know, we're going to meetings, and by this time, you know, I'm being asked to speak. I'm sponsoring 23 guys because it makes me look good, don't you know? You know what? And I think I'm happy, joyous, and free. Haven't done any steps. I think I did sponsoring myself, you know. Got an easy sponsor. I did my fourth book on a matchbook cover, you know, on the way to the meeting so I could share about step four. Because if you haven't worked a step, you can't share about it at this meeting, you know. And I thought things were going great, you know. And all of a sudden I get a phone call from her. And she says, I got a sponsor today. Like, I wasn't doing a good job. And she goes, in my first assignment is I have to break up with you because I need to work on me because our relationship is sick. You know what? And I'm a victim and you're a victim and I'm a half and you're a half. And together we're trying to be a whole. And before we have 2.2 kids, you know what? I want to find myself so I can find the right person because all my decisions are based on my past and which I haven't worked on and which you haven't worked on. Click. And so I'm sponsoring myself and, you know, I always find a damsel in distress. I do an inventory in all my long-term relationships, 6 months or better. You know, and they're all exactly the same kind of women. Damsels in distress that need me to fix them, run their life, tell them what to do. Then they tell me how smart I am so I don't have to look at myself. You know what? And, you know, we skip along the road happy, joyous, and free. So now I'm sponsoring myself, and now I'm in pain because I can't look at her. See, I like to look in the magnifying glass at her. Instead of the mirror at me, if that makes any sense, you know. So I can't tell anybody because then I have to tell people that I'm sponsoring myself. So I'm circling the drain in Alcoholics Anonymous with 4.5 years of dryness, you know. So I figure that, you know what, I'm gonna turn this around. You know, I went to the Joe and Charlie Big Book study. You know, why? So I could learn about the book. No, I gotta learn how to share better so I can catch another girlfriend, right? And I'm an alcoholic out of control, and nobody knows it but me and her, and she's keeping the secret. You know, if you're an alcoholic like me, not working a program, especially when you have some time, it's like the first thing I get is this disease called podiumitis. You ever hear of this disease? It's an alcoholic not working their program like me that has to share in every meeting for 20 minutes to tell you how to work it because they're not working it. That's not working it. Then I go to the Joe and Charlie seminar. That's not working. Then my control issues come up because I'm out of control, so I want to be in control. Steering committee, I'll drive. We need to have non-smoking not on the other side of the street, over here. You know what? And we need to start the meeting at 7:30, and that's not working. So I'm about ready to go drink because I just couldn't take it, and I couldn't tell anybody because of my false pride. And the saddest thing that happened towards the end of this Giuseppe's Dry program of Alcoholics of Oneness was I turned into this vicious, vicious monster. And I like to call him Sponsor Man. Sponsor Man flies around the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous telling everybody what to do. Excuse me, I heard you. You need to read page 64. Who are you? Who am I? I'm Sponsor Man. I went to the Big Book Seminar, so you didn't have to. And here's my card. Tell everybody I'm okay. Excuse me. I've been hearing you share about your force debt for the last 2 months. I had some time last night. Here, I wrote it for you.
Uh-huh.
I have some time right now. You can read it back to me and tell me how smart I am and that I'm okay, and be sure to tell the group. Who the hell are you? Who am I? I'm Sponsor Man! More powerful than a bottle of tequila. More spiritual than 5 hits of acid. That's right, it's me, Sponsor Man! And I get my newest newcomer to become Tradition Boy. That's right, Sponsor Man, principles before personalities. And I'm flying around the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous trying to fix everybody else because I can't fix myself. So I'm ready to drink because I can't take it no more. Nothing's working. And then guess who calls? Her. I knew she'd call. How you doing, kid? I says, well, lick it. Why don't I come pick you up? Let's go to Mexico and get a bottle of tequila and fish tacos. She goes, that bad, huh? And I says, yeah. And for the first time in Alcoholics Anonymous, I told somebody the truth. I told on myself and I told her. You know, and I wasn't trying to get back with her, and I wasn't trying to get her to fix me. You know, it was either work the program or go get drunk. You know, and she goes, listen, I'm going to call my sponsor's husband. You know what? She goes, if he calls you, tell this man the truth. Maybe he could help you. She goes, you've never told anybody the truth, and you just started with me. You're at step one. You know what? So this guy calls me. You know, and I was praying for a sponsor for like almost like 38 days. And I never met this man, didn't know who he was. But you know what? If you ask, you shall receive. So this guy calls me up, and we're talking for maybe about 35 minutes, and he says, you know what, Giuseppe? He says, I've been listening to you for the last 35 minutes, and I want to tell you something from the bottom of my heart. I go, what's that, sir? He goes, you're sick. And I go, yeah, and I'm ready to drink, too. He goes, here's my address. Come down to my house. You know, and I'm driving down there, and I'm saying, oh, she told him everything. You know, I'm walking. You know, gangsters don't walk into an ambush. You know what I mean? You know, and I even got off the freeway and went back the other way and said, you know what, help or die. And I went back down there, and I knocked on the door, and he answered the phone, and he gave me a hug. And he set me down at the kitchen table, and we made a pot of coffee. And I finally told somebody the truth. You know what, after 4.5 years in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, and I don't want to tell you this stuff. I want you to like me. But, you know, somebody in this room's program is in neutral. You know what, I can make you guys laugh the whole time I'm up here, but somebody needs help. Matter of fact, how many people in this room are sponsoring themselves? Raise your hands. See that right there? That ain't nothing to be embarrassed about, because, you know, if you could raise your hand in a meeting like this, I call that recovery, because it takes a lot of guts to do that. And the people that didn't raise your hand, I understand that too. But, you know, if you're sponsoring yourself, get a sponsor and make sure your sponsor has a sponsor. You know what? And I want to thank you guys for raising your hands. You made my night. So anyway, so he sits me down at that table, and after about 2 hours of finally telling this guy the truth, his wife comes home from work. And she pulls up a chair and a cup of coffee, and another 2 hours. And I never asked this man to be my sponsor. You know, but by the end of the evening, I had a sponsor. Because he's telling me stuff I need to do. And I not only had a him sponsor, I had a her sponsor. I call them mom and pop. You know, and they were sponsoring a bunch of kids that had, you know, issues outside of Alcoholics Anonymous, like molestation. You know what? Beating, child abuse, satanic worship, you know, and we had safe meetings at their house doing, working the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, because that stuff doesn't belong in a meeting, you know. And so it's 4.5 years. That night, I became a newcomer in Alcoholics Anonymous, just didn't have to have a drink. And here's my rules. Can't date for the first year. Got to be there every Tuesday night with my writing assignment, starting with my four step. I can go to these meetings and these meetings only. Call every night at 6:30, and if nobody's here, tell the answer machine how your day was. Join this program called Alcoholics Anonymous. Ever hear of it? One guy says, you're working that B&B program, haven't you? And I says, B&B, what's that? He goes, I don't know, but it ain't A&A, you know? So I got busy, and I started working the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. What does that clock say up there? Because I don't have my glasses. Is it 10 after? 10 after? Okay. So I start working this program called Alcoholics Anonymous. Here's the deal. How many people think that the four steps are the hardest step to work? Raise your hand. That's what I thought too. You know what the hardest step for me to work in Alcoholics Anonymous is? Step three. Steps one, two, and three are specifically designed to help me find a power greater than myself. Once I've worked all three of those steps in their wholeness, then I have God in my life because I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of Him. That means that I don't have to walk through my four step alone. Here's my deal. Of course I wanted to work the steps. But here's the deal. I've lived a wretched, horrid life out there. And some of the stuff that I did out there in the streets, I could never, ever make amends for. All I could ask for is mercy on my judgment day. So I didn't want to take a look at that because, you know what? I'm born Catholic. Still, I was still Catholic. You know what? My mom said, good boys go to heaven and bad boys go to hell. Well, I was going to burn like a match in hell anyway, so F God, F you. I couldn't do my fourth step because I didn't do my third step. You know, one, two, and three allow me to find a power greater than myself. Four, five, six, and seven allow me to get right with me. Eight and nine allow me to get right with you. And then 10, 11, and 12 keep me spiritually fit and available to give this away. So this is how I did my fourth step. I got my desk and I put it up against the wall. I got a chair for me. I got a chair for God. I got on my knees. Dear Heavenly Father, I invite you into my heart, my soul, my mind. I invite you into this pencil. But more than that, I invite you in this chair. Please sit with me because I don't want to do this. I'm scared. I became the doctor and the patient. I had to open myself up and put it on paper. Take all the anger, the hurt, the resentments, all the shame, and put it on paper. Put the power on the paper instead of 3 inches behind my belly button where it's been running and ruining my life. And that's why I had to drink and use to kill the pain. Look, I don't have a problem with alcohol. I don't have a problem with drugs. Not whatsoever. Because if they never invented those two things, what would I have used to fix me? It kills the pain. If it wasn't drugs and alcohol, it would have been women. If it wasn't women, it would have been money. If it wasn't money, it would have been a job. I got to unplug my umbilical cord into something else besides me. Some people like me even plug it into Alcoholics Anonymous. And they're obsessed on it. You know what? I need to get right with me. So now I'm doing my four step for the first time. I'm coming across some scary stuff. I put the pencil, I go to get up, I bump into God. God says, sit down, let's finish this. I could be in the Middle East right now helping them out, but I'm in a hurry, let's get it done. You know, He's there because I asked Him to be there. And every time I put it down, when I came across that scary stuff that I didn't want to look at, I would bump into Him. Guess what? I finished my fourth step. Now I'm ready to do my fifth step. I'm ready to go down to my sponsor, who's just a telephone to God. You know what? And I'm going to read it to Him. We're going to get right with it. You know, we're going to put it in the fire and burn it. You know what? And you know what I found out in that fourth step? I mean, in the fifth, well, the fourth and the fifth? Well, I can't tell you that. You guys don't go up to L.A. County too often, do you? You know what I found out? My whole life, I thought I was like my dad. My dad was this rugged Italian that was so intimidating that when he walked down the street, flowers would turn the other way. You know, and I thought, and he had a bad temper, and that's who I thought I was. I found out I was like my mom. You know what else I found out in that fourth and fifth step? Is that I'm just happy to be one of the girls today. Now, I shared that at a meeting, and some guy asked me out. That's not what I'm talking about. See, because I believe in the big, big book, too. So if God took a rib from Adam to make Eve, that means us men had sensitivity, vulnerability, kindness. Of course, not in my neighborhood. And I watch too many John Wayne Rambo movies. You know what? Not in the car I'm with, but in my truck. And I'm a contractor. I'm a roofing contractor. I have the Brady Bunch Greatest Hit CD. I like watching The Partridge Family. I grew up with that. I watched Forrest Gump the other night and I cried. I ironed my own suit before I came. I don't mind doing housework. I don't mind being vulnerable. And I don't mind being sensitive. And I don't mind being kind. And you know why I tell you guys that? Because I don't give a rat's ass difference what anybody in this room thinks about me anymore. Happy, joyous, and what? Free. I can't like the Brady Bunch? Because what you're going to think of me? You? See, I've lived my whole life through your eyes, not mine. What do you want me to do? How are we supposed to act? What are we supposed to do? You know, I got sober and started working those steps because I wanted to be happy, joyous, and free. Free to be who I was before. Look it. Like I said before, drugs and alcohol were never my problem. My problem was my childhood. I had a horrific dad that did a bunch of things that I don't have time to get into. And you know what? I hated his guts for that. But you want to know something? If I had to blame my dad for the way he raised me, then I'd have to blame my grandfather because my grandfather raised him and he was once a kid. You know, and this history of dysfunction that's been going on in my family history for years and years and years, if I wanted to find out where it started from, you know, I'd be digging up graves and rattling bones from here all the way to Italy. You know what? It wasn't my dad's fault. I didn't come with an owner's manual. 3 inches behind my belly button, where all that stuff was in my four-step, that's where my pain came from. 95% of my character defects I had before I ever picked up a drink. Thank God for alcohol. Thank God for drugs, because it allowed me to survive long enough until God knew I was ready. And God knew I was ready. And all he did was bring me to a door just like that. And he says, yeah. He says, I know what's going on. He says, guess what, Joseph? You're a chosen one. I have chosen you and all the other people that are sitting in that meeting right now for a second chance at life. And if you want it, I will work just as hard as you work. I will not work for you. And if you start working it less, I'm going to go help somebody else who needs it. How many people, if you just think about it, that we know that never got to come to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous? Or worse than that, one of my best friends, 5.5 years sober, doing the same thing as me, trying to be, in my case, Peter Perfect in AA. I thought I was the new Bill Wilson. I was really Dr. Bob's nightmare. Trying to press you, you know, and not working the steps, but working the meetings, working the social part of it. With 5.5 years and 3 kids, she put a gun to her head and blew her brains out. She ain't getting another chance to come back. She ain't getting another chance to come back and get sober and sponsor people and help them. She took the easy way out. And as I sit here and know that I'm a chosen one, because there's a lot of people that are never going to get to a meeting, that are going to die out there, or are going to live a miserable alcoholic life, raising miserable alcoholic children. Because it's a lot easier to raise healthy kids and try to repair a broken adult. God, I sound like Dr. Phil. But you know what? It's important to me. And here's my other problem is, I heard a speaker share this. If you take the circle of Alcoholics Anonymous, that's us as a whole. Inside that circle is 3 points of recovery and 3 principal points of our program. The first side is unity. This is the unity part right here. The meeting before the meeting after the meeting. You know what? Very, very important. You know what? The other side is service. Secretary, who's gonna close this place down, make the coffee. Very, very important. But ironically, recovery, that which is on the bottom, that supports the other two sides of the triangle that keeps the circle whole, is on the bottom because that's the most important part. You know? I was just doing the meetings. You know, and I'll share this, and it's just my opinion. My opinion is there is absolutely no recovery for me in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. None whatsoever. I come in here, I hear you share your experience, your strength. I walk out with some hope that if I pick up this book and work these steps, I could recover too. Because let me tell you something, if we started something called Let's Get Drunk Anonymous, and we met at Lucky John's every Friday night at 8 o'clock, and instead of the traditions and the steps on the wall, we had the alcohol, guess what? I could do 90 bars in 90 days. I ain't going to get drunk unless I do what? Take the action. Same thing in Alcoholics Anonymous. Wasted 4.5 years in here because I was scared because I couldn't work step 3. You know what? And now I get to share about it openly and freely because I'm not there anymore. You know what? And, you know, I prayed outside and I prayed on the way here, you know what? And I was planning on being funny tonight. And then God says, no, somebody's stuck. Somebody's stuck. So, what I'm trying to say is Alcoholics Anonymous cannot, will not fail. There's no failure in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. There's failure in people like me who don't work it and sit in meetings and flap our gums, you know, trying to impress you because, you know what, we're not impressed with ourselves. Another thing I found in that four step was I had a sister that was 15 years old. And I was Mr. Popular. Everybody hung out at my house in the garage, and she always wanted to be a part of, and she wasn't ready for what I was doing, so I kept on pushing her away and pushing her away. Hopefully she would take a better path than her big brother. And she was 15 years old in 1 week. She got hit by a car and got killed. And so I never got that chance. And it happened in 1983. And how I handled that was I locked myself in my apartment for 2 weeks straight and just drank and drugged and buried it. And that's where it stayed. It stayed buried 3 inches behind my belly button. And Pop tells me, he goes, look, you shared a lot about your sister. It's time for us to get right with it. You know what? I go, okay. So he goes, I want you to write about your sister, what happened, how you felt. So I go home and I got like about a page and a half, and I'm not connected to it. You know, I got God sitting next to me because I'm working step three so I can work this 10th step. And I don't feel nothing. So I call and Mom answers the phone. I go, Mom, I feel like an animal. She goes, what's going on, son? I says, I'm talking about my sponsor. She goes, what's going on? I go, I'm writing about my sister, but I don't feel anything. And she goes, I know. This is what I want you to do. I want you to tear it up, start over, and the first thing I want you to write on this page is, I am effing pissed off at God because he took my sister before I can have a relationship with her. I says, I'm not writing that. I'm not mad at God. She goes, son, just do what I'm telling you. And sure enough, a page and a half into it, back in 1983, where I buried all that stuff 3 inches behind my belly button. And I am a mess. I am a mess because I am guilty. I pushed her away. I didn't love on her. I thought because I didn't want to hurt her. It's just because, you know, I didn't want to deal with her. I never got to be a big brother, you know, to my little sister. So I take it to Pop. Pop was at a meeting, and I yanked him out of the meeting. I go, Pop, I got to dump this right now because, you know, and tears were running down my eyes. And he went to the house, and we got right with it. And he says, okay, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to write a goodbye letter to your sister, and I want you to take it to the cemetery, sit down next to her grave, and I want you to read it to her. And it should have some things like this. You know what? I'm sorry that I hurt you and didn't let you into my life. I was an alcoholic, insecure, low self-esteem. He goes, talk to her. Write this letter like if you're going to be talking to her face to face. You know, and I went and I did it. And I told him, okay, Pop, but I'm not writing her a goodbye letter. I'll write her, I'll see you later letter. And he goes, that's fine. So I got some flowers. I read it to her. I rolled up the 10th step with the flowers. And I put it in the ground. And I walked away 99% free. Because there's still some guilt left. You know, did God let her hear that? You know, and so I'm writing on this 1% because that's the way I am. And, you know, I talked to Pop. He says, go to a meeting and relax, you know. And so I went to a meeting. And like I told you earlier, God's never late. I'm just never on time. Because this girl shared. And she shares about her dad had major amount of sobriety in Alcoholics Anonymous. And she kept on trying to get sober. And he got killed in a car accident. And that he was, she's going to get sober for him. But he's never going to see her because he's already gone. So this girl shares this. And this guy shares this to her, but it's really for me. And he says, you know, there was this kid on the football team, third string, had no business playing, was never going to play, but everybody loved him because he had so much heart. And during homecoming week, his father died. And he got dismissed from practice and everything to deal with the funeral. And then the day of the game, he comes back. Now it's homecoming. And as soon as the game started, coach, you got to put me in, you got to put me in. You know, son, relax. The guy was never going to play. You know what? And at halftime, they're losing 42-0. The game's lost. So as soon as halftime starts again, coach, you got to put me in. He goes, you know, go ahead, kid. He figures, what the very first play, this kid tackles a quarterback, picks up the ball, runs for a touchdown. He did this, he did that. He won the game single-handedly. You know? And so, you know, after the game's over in the locker room, the coach went up to me and he said, "My God, I didn't know you were this good." He goes, "What got into you?" And he says, "Well, coach, my dad's watching." He says, "Wait a minute, I thought your dad died." And he says, "He did, but he was born blind and God gave him his eyes so he could see." It works if you work it. That's my sister saying, "See you later. See you later, brother." You know, Alcoholics Anonymous cannot, will not fail. And I'm almost out of time. And I'm going to share this one more thing. What time is it? Okay, so I'll do this quick. You know, I have two favorite movies of all time. One of them is The Godfather. The other one's The Wizard of Oz. So you think The Wizard of Oz is about two women trying to kill each other over a pair of shoes, right? Really, it's about Alcoholics Anonymous. And I know it makes sense to me. Because I think somebody read the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and then wrote the movie The Wizard of Oz. How does the movie start off? Well, first of all, they both came out in 1939. How does this movie start off? It's all in black and white before God, you know, sent me to you, so my life is all in black and white. Now, the movie's about this alcoholic named Dorothy. Now, they're having a great big intervention for her, you know, in the living room, and they're trying to take away the most important thing in her life. What is that most important thing? Toto. What the hell is Toto? A short dog? I don't know. She ain't going to have none of this because she's not ready to get sober. So she takes her will and her life in her own hands and she starts heading down that dirt road with a basket of Toto. Now, who's the first person she meets on this journey? The professor. Who the hell is this untreated Al-Anon? All of a sudden, he's looking in his Al-Anon crystal ball and saying, "Annie M is sick and dying, and it's all your fault, you bleeping alcoholic." He puts an Al-Anon not working program guilt trip on her. Well, it's in my book, taking a trip, not taking a trip. Now, they don't show this in the movie because of the kids, but you know she had to stop at the bar for a couple of short dogs or two before she had to go face them. But this is in the book. The alcoholic is like a tornado ripping through the life of their loved ones. She's drunk. And they're having an Al-Anon meeting in the cellar. "Let me in. Go to meeting, you drunk. Call your sponsor." So she goes in the house. She bumps her head and goes into a blackout. Now she's on the bed with what, Alkie? The spins. Trying to put one foot down to stop the badness. And when she wakes up, she's looking through the wreckage of her past out the window. She sees everybody she hurt. And in the farmhands. And who's the last person she sees? Her. The Wicked Witch of the East. That's just her after a couple of short dogs or two. Now when she lands, you know she lands in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous because all of a sudden it's all in color. And they're all happy, joyous, and free. And being the good meeting that it is, they get her a sponsor, which is Glenda. And what's the first thing Glenda asks her? "Are you a good witch or a bad witch?" "I'm not a witch at all." Denial. Now, she wants to recover and she wants to change her life so she can get back to her loved ones. And she says, "Well, how do I do that?" Her sponsor says, "You have to find a higher power." "What's a higher power?" "We use the wizard." "How do you get to the wizard?" "You have to follow Yellow Brick Road or trudge the road of happy destiny." She says, "Well, how do I do that?" And this is in the movie Rent It. She says, "It's always best to start from the beginning." What's that? Step one, maybe? So, who does she meet? Who's the first person she meets on this journey? Some newcomer without a brain. I don't know about you. I always thought I had a brain, never knew how to work it until God sent me to you and you sent me to trudge that road. So I guess where two or more are gathered, there will be in the midst, right? So they're trudging the road again. Who's the next person they meet? Some alcoholic didn't have a heart. I don't know about you. I always thought I had a heart, but you know, love isn't between the sheets. And matter of fact, you know, the longest journey you could take in Alcoholics Anonymous is about 14 inches out of my head and into my heart. There it is right there. So these three hook up, heading for the Emerald City, really the promises in disguise, and I guess they're coming up on 30 days because they're going through that spooky farce. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. Well, the real song was pot and pills and booze, oh no. And they're all about ready to go out and get drunk, and what happens? They meet the newest newcomer of them all. Some alcoholic didn't have any courage to get sober. They had to stay sober for him. So these four hook up. I guess they're on seven because they're halfway there, and they could see it, the Emerald City. Really, the promise is in disguise. But what's between them and the Emerald City? Poppies! So they make heroin out of it. What wakes them up? A little snow? I don't know. Got a monkey on your back, Scarecrow? How about that curtain patrol music? Na 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 na. I know the cops are out there. Come on! We've been robbed! Finally, they get to the Emerald City of the Promises. And just for the hell of it, what does the witch write in the sky? Surrender Dorothy. We never heard that around here, right? And then they meet the person that I love the most, and that's the wizard. And who is the wizard? Some scared guy, Italian, wearing a gangster hat and a trench coat, pretending to be something he's not because he's one of the girls today. He wasn't the higher power. She had to find the higher power. And I don't know why she waits to the end of the movie, but she does. And her sponsor comes and she says, honey, you've always had the power to go home. She goes, what do you mean? She goes, you had to trudge that road of happy destiny, follow yellow brick road. And she trudged that road in her ruby red slippers, and inside those slippers were her feet where she took the step. Guess what? In 1939, Big Book wasn't blue. It was ruby red. And inside this book are the steps we take to recover. You know, and how does Dorothy get home? Click your heels how many times? Step one, step two, step three. God couldn't would if he were sought. And at the end of the movie, she's restored to sanity and she's ready to go out and give this thing away. And she says the most important thing, you know, there's no place like home. There's no place like home, and I'm never leaving again. And all I'm telling you guys is, there's no place like home, and this is my home, and I'm going to stay one day at a time. Thanks.